Everybody for coming tonight. We're going to do something slightly different from what we usually do. We're going to try to do a potpourri of two or three nitzivs, and I haven't provided you with them, so I've only given you one of them, so that means that I have a little bit more liberty. The first one is, I think, probably, it's hard to say which is the most epic of the Nitzivs HaKdamos, but the Nitzivs HaKdamos, the Sefer Bamidbar, is legendary. He is Masbir, tries to explain why the Sefer is called Chumash HaPakudim. Gemara in Yoma and also in Sota refer to the Sefer as Chumash Pekudim, and that is also set forth in the Bahag. And the question is, why is it called Chumash Pekudim? The Pekudim literally means the countings. The countings happen in two different times. A question is, why is this really the defining factor of the Sefer? You would have thought, meaning if I were to try to think of it, like, the things that I remember the most about Sefer Bamidbar is, these great tales of human failure, that's what really speaks to me. Maybe we should name it after something relating to that, or alternatively, this is kind of the bridge between this and the Mishneh Torah, or the end of really most of the narrative. You could talk about it in terms of its narrative, or many other things. Calling it Chumash HaPakudim almost seems like it's missing the forest and the trees. So, Netziv says, the reason why is because the two pekudim shebazeh sefer that are here, Yosef Mishari Dvarim Yichadim bazeh sefer Kmo Meraglim and Birkos Bilam, and we've got so many stories, right? Mishum de Iker zeh sefer hu amachlif umeshana halichos am Hashem b'chay haolam me'az sheigu le'eretz Yisrael. He says that min haderech shehalchu b'midbar. He says that the real story of all of Sefer B'Midbar is a change in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to his nation. That change is basically from being an upstart nation leaving and beginning nationhood, as we said in the name of the Bahag, Sefer HaSheni, the completion of creation, was creating the nation of Israel.
Or a startup. Which one is it? No, upstart. How are the upstarts? Sorry.
Maybe I'm missing the distinction.
A startup means the beginning, when you're starting up.
The beginning is a nation. Beginning
you
is a nation.
Upstart meaning they're troublesome.
No. Not troublesome, but chlaf. Well, they trouble sichanonok, but that's the only manner in which they're troublesome. Startup nation. Anyhow, they're on their way. They're coming to be makabel the Torah. All these wonderful things, and all of a sudden, a change happens when they kind of hit the turning point of going into Eretz Yisrael, where Kodesh Baruch Hu begins changing the way he's going to relate to them. In the desert, they have the man, they have the Anone Yaakovot, they have everything taken care of them, they're the Dordea, everything is wonderful. But all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches his expression to them from this great Hashgacha Nisus, this great miraculous open miracles, to a little bit more of the Derech HaTeva. He says like this, Shebemidbar hayu misnagin b'midas tiferes. This is for you, Julian. They were in the mida of tiferes. Shehalach limin Moshe shu lagamrei l'maylam alichos ha-teva. Everything was above nature, beyond nature, supernatural in all ways, shapes, and forms. Uve'eretz Yisrael halchu b'derech ha-teva b'sisrei hashgachas malchus shemayim baruch hu. But when they got to Eretz Yisrael, when they got to Israel, all of a sudden, the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was much more through the natural order. During the 40th year of their time in the Midbar, the Jewish people had already begun experiencing these changes. It says this in Chukas, by the story of the water, similarly, certain wars started happening more, but there are his staff much in the same sort of frequency, only when needed, in cases of necessity. But Zeh Sefer, with respect to this change, which is so evident in this book, Amru Chazal, the Avdel Elokim Bein Ha'ura Bein HaChoshech, everybody knows, Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu differentiated between light and dark. What does that refer to? You would never get this one. What's light and dark? Zeh Sefer Bamidbar. Medrash says the difference between light and dark is embodied in this Sefer. Shehu Mavdil Bein Yotzei Mitzrayim Uvein Boi Haaretz. That is the separation between those who are leaving Mitzrayim and those who are entering the land of Israel. Those who are leaving Mitzrayim are leaving B'derech Nisi B'Ashkachal Maila Minateva B'Min Bavsha, and those who are going to Eretz Yisrael are going to be Ashkacha Nisteras. Tebehalichos Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who are leaving Mitzrayim, Haya Or, the light of Hashkachas Hashem, Mofiel Im Kol, it is evident to all. Shu Kvod Hashem V'Tachlis Abriya, this is God's honor and really the end, the telos of all creation. Mash Enkein Ba'alichos Ba'ayaretz, not so for those who enter the land of Israel. Haisa Hashkacha Mechusa, the Hashkacha was there, but it was covered. It was a lot more behind the scenes. Vavrak hamabit be'ayin yofa hayam margish bo. Only somebody who looks extremely carefully would be able to notice it. Kamo haholich bechashchas laila. So just like somebody who walks in the pitch dark of night. O rak lifrakim haysan yergeshas ha'ashkacha lein kol. Only at certain instances will somebody feel the hashkacha. Kmo ora barak hameir es chashchas halayla. Just like a little bit of light, glimmer of light that will enlighten a dark night. The light in the dark, that's Sefer Bamidbar. Achein ikar ahefresh hazeh. This great distinction, haya nikar b'shteya pekudim, shehayu shnei inyonim shavim b'chomer ha'maisa, v'nishtanu b'tzuras ha'maisa lefi ha'alichos Yisrael. So this distinction is seen in the two times the Jewish people are counted. Because they both, it seems, substantively are the same. But they are representing two extremely different changes and two different times and perhaps turning points in the Halichos Yisrael. Mishum hachi b'pam rishona, the first time, haya al pi seder hadegalim midalad ruchos kimerkava l'shchina. So the first time the Jewish people are counted, the tribes are counted in the order of the way that they would camp around the Aron. Meaning that's representing this idea of being a Merkava l'shchina, the idea of each of them circling sanctity fully above nature. Via Ephraim, Rosh Hadega v'kodem l'Manasha, Ephraim is before Manasha. V'lo kein b'pekudei parshas Pinchas b'shnas arba'im, but in the 40th year in Pinchas, it's a completely different story, because that one is about getting ready for coming into the land of Israel. He says, I'm going to write later. He says, you see another distinction. The Roshim needed to be from their Shevet, but not so in Pinchas. Bishum hachi Rashum Zainyan Ma'od Anshiro Chazaldi Krolashem Hasefer Chumash HaPekudim. And this is why it is so embedded in the Sefer. So much, these two different counts represent the two different modes of expression from Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it is so telling of the book that we have to call it Chumash Pekudim, as opposed to named after all these narratives of human failure. Right? Because the human failure is just some of the trees of the forest of the change of the way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is dealing with us. Think for a moment of a mother bird trying to teach a baby bird how to fly. So the mother bird has to let the baby bird fall, pushes the baby bird out of the nest. It's a complete change, because just a couple of minutes ago the mother was feeding it worms from its mouth. And now, all of a sudden, the mother bird is letting the baby fail, albeit for its own growth, but failing nonetheless. Vanira, de api zoa kavana amru chazal, de vaihi bin soa oron, hu sefer bifnei atzmo. So we have a mesora. Chazal tell us that vaihi bin soa oron, which is surrounded by those nunim hafuchim, right? Vaihi bin soa oron is its own sefer, and really Bamidbar encapsulates three different svarim, meaning that there are seven svarim of the Chumash. I meant that. There's seven svarim in the Chumash, and the one before then is completely different. Before Vayi Bin Soharon is completely different between from the one after, because they're really different stories.
What's the source for that idea again?
It's a Gemara in Shabbos. So in any event, he says Lamdenu ki ba'asher haskalas hashinui haya. It's from Kimis Onanim. Kimis Onanim. The Kimis Onanim. It says that Yishvili's Naku, but Tiferes Ne'anashu Miyad Achar Shechatu, because they were in the meat of Tiferes, they were punished immediately after they sinned. Ki Kaasher Yivuar Reish Parsha Shlach. Oh, Ki Hayash Tiel Ashgacha Yad Yeminim Avedarza Kasha Alei Lisbol. They were right in God's great Hatzshkacha, and it was difficult for them to deal with. Ad Shagarm Lishiluach Meraglim, they needed to send Meraglim, Kasher Yivor, Rish Parsha Shlach. Umizet Nishtal Shel V'Halach Ad Shigia L'Zeh Shinui, and this was the beginning of the new change, Kasher Yivor Sham. And Be'ezras Hashem will have a chance to look at Parsha Shlach and Parsha Shchukas, where these ideas are developed in more detail. Imkein Parsha Katana Zu, this little Parsha, of Vayhi bin Tzaron, who mechalek is bin Shnei Avanei Halichos Yisrael. It is really the point, the turning point of the way that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to act with Klal Yisrael. Ad shekol chelek echad min ha-sefer, hu sefer bifnei atzmo, to the extent that we could say that the first half and the second half are two distinct svarim. Kmo ze ha-hiluch, hu sefer bifnei atzmo, v'ze ha-hiluch. Okay. And that's why we call it Chumash Pekudim. That's why we say that it's really seven books of the Chumash, and that's why the Pekudim represent this great change. This is really an epic Netziv. It plays itself out through all of the Sefer. But I think that since we have a little bit of background, I think this is probably sufficient for us to just get the piece, and we can move on to the next piece of the potpourri. Okay. So the next piece of the potpourri is a little bit more granular with respect to some of the counting itself. With respect to the counting, when you go through the numbers, I'm sorry, I didn't provide it so I could say it however I want. With respect to some of the counting, but you know this by heart, so I can expect that you'll correct me if I get anything wrong. When we count the Levim, they're low in number. Pretty insignificant growth, or we would say it's not significant growth compared to the other Shvatim. And this question of why there were so few of them is raised already in the Rishonim, and the Ramban gives a couple of answers. One is, since they were not Mishtabdim in Mitzrayim, somehow the bracha of Shisha Bekeres Echad and everything else, well, since there was no inui, so there wasn't the same sort of ribui, right? Meaning, in other words, the exponential growth was only relevant to those who were afflicted. That's one. And the second one was that Yaakov Avinu was upset with Shevet Levi, and since he was upset with Shevet Levi, perhaps that affected his numerical growth. Come in. You're being recorded. Okay, we're asking why Shevet Levi was so.
I don't want to leave the door open now.
Yeah, sure, we can leave the door open. So the question is why there were so few of Shevet Levi when we're counting them, to the extent that it seems so nominal. And now I'm going to read Shnaim Esrim Elaf, Ayin Ramban Shani Sorer Al Misbar Muad Belevim. He says, And they hadn't really carried the Aron much yet either, which could have been a reason for us to think maybe that they might not be so many. And the basis of the Netziv's two answers that he's going to give, why Shevet Levi is so few when they're counted, is that in Mitzrayim, they were different and distinct from all the other Jews. We know, Chazal tell us, that the majority of the Jews in Mitzrayim were not as virtuous, perhaps, as they could have been, right? But not so for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was really head and shoulders above the rest, okay? They were already, the term the Netziv likes to use is a Merkava L'Shechina. Hainu, Shayu Prushim U'Dal L'Rasu Yisborach. They were separatists and exceptional in the service of God. Mishum Hachi, Hayu Mu'atim. Since they were so special, and since they were so separate, as it were, they were few, Mishnei Tamim, for two reasons. So, we've given the two of the Ramban, we give two more. Chada, the Svivav Nishara Me'od, Alkin and Nashu Maheral, Eze Avon. Since they were so high up, as it were, they were subject to greater scrutiny. Right? The greater you are, the more scrutiny you're under. Since they were subject to greater scrutiny, any misstep would result in a greater punishment. And that greater punishment kept their numbers down. Okay? So, he says like this. He says, Yishar, Akein Nashu Maher Al Eze Avon. You do an Avera, you get a quick punishment. Not so for somebody with an excuse, right? You give an excuse, okay, let's see what we can do. Somebody who has no excuses, you know, they kind of run out of, get out of jail free cards. V'gam, Kehema Yadu, Gam Kodem Matan Torah, Maluchet V'Avon, Shelo Zehu Ratzon Hashem, V'Kiblu, they knew before Matan Torah, unlike everybody else, before Matan Torah, Shevet Levi already knew what was an Avera and what wasn't. And they knew that an Avera wasn't Ratzon Hashem. V'Kiblu Aleim Ol Torah Mitzvos, Kmo HaAvos. They accepted upon themselves Torah and Mitzvos, just like the Avos. This is the famous Ramban that says that the Avos accepted the Torah, B'Torahs Eino Mitzuva V'Osa. They fulfilled the Torah in a manner of somebody who was not commanded, but would still do the Mitzvah. Right, so they were doing all of these mitzvos, even though they weren't necessarily commanded. The naisek mo neder. And it became like a neder, like a promise. Asher de'avoso nechshav l'chet. So what happens when you have a neder? You root your own Shulchan Aruch, and if you break your own Shulchan Aruch, then you're in trouble. Right? That's an avera too. K'moshe k'sher kasafti b'sefer bereishis, masha'ein kein kol Yisrael. So the Levim were so different from all of Bnei Yisrael, because until Bnei Yisrael went to Har Sinai, they had no obligation. They did not obligate themselves. They did not even know what was right or wrong. So they could not be held accountable for actions which would later be told to them were usur, or wrong, or improper in any way, shape, or form. Right? So he says, Mashaken Yisrael lo yadu me'uma ad matan Torah ve'lo kiblu aleihem So the first one is because they had so much precious and they had so much understanding, they had greater accountability. Because of the greater accountability, they had more punishment. Because they had more punishment, they had lower numbers.
Okay. I love the fact that you said they wrote their own Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what we say, Kol Noder Kilu Bona Bama. We say.
Now, it was their own.
Yes, well,
one,
that's
what, each one maybe even wrote their own.
It's not saying in a very praiseworthy way. It's saying you had your own Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes you get caught up and you miss the Shulchan Aruch. So that's the critique. So Shani's, the second one, which is an answer which speaks to me very deeply. Okay. To kol ha-meshubach gidulo yakar v'kasha letzei selakamar. The greater something is, the more difficult it is to grow, and the more difficult it is to complete. Say that one more time. the greater and more praiseworthy and more wonderful something is, the more difficult and arduous of a task it is for that to grow and to reach a level of completion. Right? So I was giving a mashal to somebody. This is not really a perfect mashal. So it's much more difficult, it's much easier for a rasha to pick a lot of things that would really start morphing them into a tzaddik than a tzaddik to pick things to put them over the top to the next level of tzaddikus. It's much easier to lose the first pound in a diet than to lose the 30th pound, right? Or the 50th pound, or the 100th, whatever it is, right? The last pound is the most difficult, right? So similarly, with trying to be a Ben or a Bas Aliyah, the idea is obviously the same, right? That growth is more difficult the higher you are up on the pole. Kmo Eitz Ma'achal, She'enu Ma'maher Gidulo Kmo Ilan Yisrak. He says that fruit-bearing trees or food-bearing trees grow slower and with greater difficulty than non-fruit or food-bearing trees. I don't know anything about this. He could have told me the opposite and I would have believed him too. But the idea is that the more fruitful and the more robust something is, the more difficult it is. Okay? V'chol eitz maichal shu yakar ma'od gidulo kasher yoser. There is any fruit-bearing trees, its growth is more difficult. So too for all of us. V'adam eitz asada. This is, we're like trees. It's nothing different. The greater your, I don't know, your status, your materials, wherever you're holding, the greater you are, the higher up you are, the more difficult it's going to be, and the more time it's going to take, right? Shumhachi, and I'll tell you, here's how you know. Klal Yisrael mi Avram Avinu ad shebaul Mitzrayim lo poru v'robu kol kach. The Jewish people, even though there was a lot of growth to do, until they got to Mitzrayim, as a numerical matter, their numbers were really insignificant. It was so small. Moreover, ad shebaul u'bnei Levi, Bnei Levi, who was going to be the more meshubach in Bnei Yisrael, ad shebaul Bnei Levi nis achru od yoser, achubau le'eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Levi were even more. It was until they got to Eretz Yisrael. V'chozeh nichlab ma'amar chazal b'reish Rabbi says, this is all there. He says, I've got a second answer for you, is that Bnei Levi, it's not that they were punished more per se, or you could say that it had less to do with punishment. It has to do more with the quality of who they were. Their numerical growth was going to be more difficult because ipso facto, when something is greater, growth takes more. It takes more time, it takes more effort, it takes more exertion, it takes more everything for it to actually happen. I'll tell you a story. A chavrus of mine went to Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal and had been in yeshiva for a number of years and was frustrated for where he was with his studies. And lamented to Rav Aharon, he said, why can't I just wake up tomorrow morning and be a Talmud Chacham? Question we all want to know, why can't, you know, everything happens quick. You have instant coffee. We have instant messages. We have instant everything. Why don't we have instant spiritual completion? Right? And Rav Aharon said back to him, or so I'm told, woe to he who wishes to skip the process. So implicit in what he was saying is, you know, if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, it's not that putting in the time is paying your dues. It's that putting in your time is a necessary building block to being a Talmud Chacham. You can't be a Talmud Chacham unless you do this. Says the Netziv, this is the same for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi couldn't be just a numerical powerhouse because they needed to put in their effort. So that's That's the second one. So we have four answers to review. Why was Shevet Levi so few? One, maybe because they were not oppressed, so they couldn't get the bracha of Riboy. Two, maybe it's because Yaakov Avinu was upset with them. Three, maybe because they were subject to higher scrutiny. Or four, don't you know that anything that's good grows slow? Okay. Now let's spend a little bit of time on the last piece. And the last piece is moving from the really, really big ideas down to the very granular, which I think is also very relevant. And then it is of the opinion specifically with respect to the Mishkan and the Kelim, that all of these both have a grand scheme, and additionally they also have, more specific messages as well. With respect to the kisuyim, the covers for certain vessels, we're going to notice that the covers include similar materials, but in different orders. So if you look at the sheets, now you can see the sheets. The sheets have the shulchan being described in one way, and the aron being described differently. Okay? So start with hey. Uva aron, uvonov, binsoa aro, amachane, veridu esprochas, amasach, vichisu boas aron edus. So they were going, and they would take down the parochas, and they would cover the aron. Venasnu alav, they would put on the aron what? Kisui, or tachash. They would put the skin of a tachash, ufarshu, deged, kliot cheles, milmala. They would put something that was fully tcheles above, and then they would put in the staves. So just to make sure that we understand, the aron, okay, is covered first with tachash, skin, and second with tcheles. Val shulchan upon him, with respect to the shulchan, Yifrusu beged tcheles v'nasnu alav esakaros v'esakapos v'zmenakios v'esksos hanasech v'lechem hatomid alea yiye ufarsu aleim beged tolashani v'chisu oso b'michse or tachash v'samu esbadov. So all the things with respect to the shulchan were put on, and first is the tcheles, and second is the tachash. Says the Netziv, a simple but important question. The Shulchan has the Techeles on the bottom level and the Tachash on the top level. The Aron has the opposite. First the Tachash on the bottom level and the Techeles on the top level. Why are these two inverted? In other words, every detail is...
Just remind me what the Shulchan is.
The Shulchan is the table.
Okay.
Table on which the showbread was placed. So the question is, why are we switching this order? Really, does it matter? Yes, says the Netziv. Everything matters. So here's what I'm going to read to you. Rishis Hashunyu Hu Ba'arod. Rakodesh, he says, oh, here, I'll read you this lashon because it's important. Yeshis bonin, it's important for us to consider the difference in the coverings for each of these, each vessel below. It's given to us for the purposes of our consideration to understand the message that is coming with it. The big difference is first seen with respect to the Arno Kodesh. Every keli, including the Shulchan, has the Tachash above and the Tcheles below. But the Arno is different. What is this trying to show us? The Inyan is as follows. Remember the first piece. A Tcheles is showing something that is above nature. Kagon kisei akavod, like God's heavenly throne. For tachash, and the tachash, naisa lishmira, and the tachash, the skin is there really for physical protection. Baderech michol v'geshem v'chadom, it's supposed to protect you from the elements. One is supposed to represent this great spiritual electricity, and the other is part of the human initiative to protect where we operate, ba'olam hateva. Just like the distinction we have in Chumash Bekudim, In Bamidbar, we see these two different aspects play out in the way that the kelim are covered. Simi Mishum Hachi says as follows, says, look at this. Habeged Tcheles Lamata V'Ta'ur Tachash Lamala. With respect to the Shulchan, the Tcheles is below, and the Tachash is above. Because it's trying to say something about the Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis, Mikom Mikom Nir La'ayin, Adam Bishdadus, Adam Nagilakach. We have Hashgacha Pratis, Tcheles on the bottom, that is covered by the Olam HaTeva. There's Hashgacha Pratis, even on Olam HaTeva, but all of these Kalim that are covered, it seems like human initiative, or the natural order, the normal course, is governing. Masha'in Kena Arun. That's not so for the Arun. The Arun is really representing a different view altogether. The Arun, Lehefech, Kliel Tifarto Nigla Le'en Kol. Everybody sees the splendor of the Arun. Nobody would suspect that the Arun itself is a measure of the natural course. Shula Maila Miteva Enoshi. This is greater than the natural world of humans. Varan no Seyas no Sov. And the Arun carries those who carry it. However, even within the Arun, with the Tcheles on top, the Tachash is below, the world of Teva is there. He nisa biyad anashim. It is carried in a certain sense in the hand, literally in the hands of man. These two different expressions which are seen of open miracles in Lamaila Mina Teva and covered miracles. Here, remember, he was Mechusa. He used the words Mechusa in the introduction. Here, it's literally covered. The Tachash is, it's covered up with the Tachash. Those two different expressions and modes are expressed in the different Kalim, and each Kli is going to have coverings which represent these two different expressions. So a few points here.
I didn't get the last the last claim. When it comes to the Arun, the Tcheles is above, so that everyone sees that this is Me'al HaTeva.
It's known. It's no say, it's no
sub. Why do I need the Tachash below? Why do
because
I need,
people are there, carrying there, the Arun. There's an element of human initiative as well.
There is an element of human initiative.
There is an element of human initiative. It's just not... It's just not the driver.
Wait a minute. Hashgacha Pratis doesn't mean human initiative, does it?
No. It means Kadosh Baruch Hu's initiative.
That's in
the
not
one
hidden behind it, but I don't get what the reason I need the human element by the Aron.
How does the Aron get around?
So the hierarchy is Tcheles is above, the Tochash, which is the human element, is below.
Mm-hmm. How does the Aron get around?
What is he teaching us?
Good question.
About, he's talking about how God relates to the world. From
yes.
the perspective of the Aron, the perspective is the divine perspective.
I think that it's a contrarian, not a contrarian, but trying to show the nuance in the other side of what is appearing to us.
So
he's not.
Says,
it's not stated. Yes. Correct.
He's trying to say something even more subtle. He's
yes.
saying that even something that is so overtly spiritual, like the Ohr HaKodesh. Paradoxically, even there, God is burying in that the human initiative, as you call it.
That's right.
And that's reflected in the fact that men are carrying it.
Yes,
so
precisely.
So
I think that, Julian, this is an interesting thing because this kind of touches on one of your key themes. But the idea of the limits of the human comprehension, right, the idea of the limits of human comprehension, to the extent that there are instances where we're going to say that this is a nes nigla and everything's, you know, roi l'kol and everything, we may not see the other aspect with it. And similarly, when we say, oh, this is part of the Olam HaTeva, we're also seeing our limitations. It's similar to the Netziv Shita with respect to Tamei HaMitzvos, where something would appear on its face to be a mishpat, something which is completely understand, but really there's an element or an aspect of chok. In a certain way, the Netziv has this great theme of the greatness of man and his perception and understanding and how that's supposed to be built But at the same time, there's kind of a sub-theme of our recognizing our limitations.
Right, or you could also say that the dialectic is just like by the Kalim, everything looks like it's natural, so the Tachash is above, but underneath it is this hidden Hashgacha process.
Yes.
So
divine providence.
So whatever looks like it's just pure nature, the Kalim come to teach us that there is an underlying providential guide.
Yes.
So too, when you see something that is overtly divine, there must be some human component to it.
Yes,
for it to be fulfilled.
And there's a lot more puzzle to put together. But ladies and gentlemen, we have Marv. Everybody have a great night. Okay. Yes, that's exactly what I thought. There's a lot more. I mean, it's almost that he's nuanced Peshitta, right?